Welcome back to Inside Agriculture, Friday morning, 7th day of the 7th month. But since the June 30th acreage and stocks report, which seems like a long time ago, watching the markets has been like watching a yo-yo performance. NDSU Extension Grain Marketing Specialist Frayne Olson.
I mean, there's a lot of things going on globally, and we can touch on those if we have time, but right now the primary focus, of course, is on what's happening domestically. In particular, you know, what's going on with our expectations for production. That is really the heart of it. A lot of concerns about some drier conditions showing up in the Corn Belt. Basically that entire Corn Belt region, all the way from, Nebraska, South Dakota into Iowa, especially in northern Illinois and in Wisconsin, parts of Michigan, even into Indiana. There's some really dry spots in there. That's the heart of our corn and soybean production. Last Friday, we had a lot of volatile news. Again, there was a follow-up survey that the USDA did on planted acreage. So in March, we do USDA does a survey of what farmers intend to plant, what are their expectations, what are they planning on. Then you do a follow-up survey of farmers in June and saying, well, what did you actually get seeded? And that report came out last Friday. A major market mover for us, kind of hit the reset button on expectations and what we're thinking the corn and soybean crop might look like in particular. And we got a big shift into corn and away from beans. And so right now, we've seen some near-limit up days in soybeans, some near-limit down days in corn. It looks as though they're starting to stabilize now, at least kind of hitting that new equilibrium, at least for short term. And again, we're going to go back into the weather forecast and say, what is this crop really going to look like? What are the yield expectations? And given the drier conditions, I think people are starting to take the top end off those yield numbers right now. So we'll be watching that exceptionally closely as we move into July and in particular into August. You know, not only domestically, but globally, a lot of people look at those USDA numbers. We all know they're not perfect, okay? We all listen, and even the people that put them together say, look, these are not perfect, but we're doing the best job we can. And so part of this is also understanding how they do the process. So we knew going in up front in March and April and May, the USDA was going to use the trend line yields because that's what they always do at this time of year. It's just like a farmer, if you're putting your crop budgets together, not knowing what kind of yield you should put down in for your forecasts, usually put in something like a crop insurance number. Well, even the crop insurance APHs, your yield history, has been adjusted for trend line. So USDA is using a very similar process. And then for planted acreage, as I said earlier in March, they do a survey of farmers, about 70,000 farmers across the U.S., and say, okay, what kinds of crops and what kind of mix of crops are you intending to plant? And they try and spread it out so that it's statistically significant and uniform, okay, so that the areas that grow more crops get more samples. Well, then, as I said, in June, they do another survey of farmers. So this is really just reporting the survey's results that farmers told people. What the farmers told USDA they actually did. Mm. And again, they survey about 65,000 farmers the second time around. So this is a pretty large process. It's actually a very expensive process. They're trying to get these numbers right. And I think what happened was, the spring's work was going well, in particular in the Corn Belt area. And guys just kept planting corn until they decided, okay, this is about as much corn as I can handle, and they switched back into soybeans.
And at the time, the price of corn was pretty impressive. Hey, we'll continue our market analysis after we check the weather on Inside Agriculture.